All right, y'all come on in. Let's do some coaching today. Today, get my screen's all set up. Anybody that wants to get coached need to go ahead and raise your hands. If you saw in the newsletter this week, we are let's see the Q&A. No, that's the chat. Sorry, I thought the Q&A already had a question in it. We are doing our big workshop on January the 4th. So I hope you're all excited. It is, I've got a new simple way to lose weight. It's called Start. We're going to start the new year like badass bitches, y'all. And in that, we are going to be doing our workshop and then we're going to kick off 8 weeks of just, I want you to think about it as a fresh take on the basics. We're going to like really hone in on them one at a time. I'm going to piece them out. I think you're going to really enjoy it. So it's going to be just a great way to start the new year. With some newer concepts that I've been kicking around and playing around with, one of which is I'm not bad at it, I'm new at it, which is, I think, a mantra I would love for all of you to tell yourselves is that even if you've been here forever, a lot of times y'all haven't really been doing the basics for a while. You've been listening to me and you're doing what you call your emotional work, but you're not actually taking the emotional work and like doing the basics. I just want y'all to know the basics are there to go along with the emotional work. The emotional work shouldn't be so hard that it prevents you from doing your basics. The way I think about it is the four basics, what they do is they illuminate the path of any of the emotional work you might need to do. And so if you've been like fucking around with emotional work for a year, you need to go to ask coaches and have them help you. That means you can't do your own emotional work. And that's not a bad thing. Most people can't. That is why you have coaches. That is why Corinne has her own coach. I don't do my own emotional work. I have somebody else help me with it because it's hard for me to distinguish what misery am I causing myself versus what is happening in the world that I think is that is the blame for my misery or the reason why I eat. So if you've been saying, I've just barely been working on the emotional side of things for a while. Go to ask coaches and tell them, I need help to work through this because I need to not. It, the longer you keep just fucking around with your emotional shit and not doing the basics, you're going to start seeing them just get more and more separated over time and they work together. And I don't want that for any of you. All right. We only have one person who needs coaching today. Every time I say that, this is what happens. We get through one person, and then next thing I know, 40 of you want to raise your hands at the last fucking minute. Let's just go ahead and get our hands raised if we're going to be wanting coaching today. All right, iPhone, you're first. And then Christy said something really good, and this is exactly it. Sometimes when emotions get high, it is hard to coach yourself. I will tell all of you, it is even hard to coach yourself at times when your emotions are low. Very often when like the emotions are low, you really do think it's just the thing that is the problem. Instead of, oh wait, my thinking about this, I think that might be standing in the way. Is there room for new interpretations, new ways to look at this, compassionate ways to see myself in the situation so I can help myself? Well, Susan, why are you called iPhone? Who I'm gonna get. All right, hang on. You're still muted. Don't start talking yet. Let me ask you to unmute. I'm gonna get you unmuted first. No, you're still muted. It's like you haven't turned on your volume yet. I'm clicking the little button for you. No, it's like you're just still on mute. On my side, the little red button is still on. Does, well, all right, she left. She's gonna come back. She's gonna go out. Like, who needs coaching though? Like, I literally have no one here who needs coaching. If that is the case, we will wait on Susan and then we're gonna get out early. All right. Thank you, Jenny. There are a lot of you I know need coaching. I watch y'all in the Facebook group constantly talking about shit that you need coaching on. And let me just say this. I do not bite. I'm not gonna slap you. Like, Well, there's Susan. Somehow, well, I bet you I'm going to get multiple people. Hang on. Susan, you're still on. Susan, you're still on mute. Go out and see if you can get your phone fixed and then come back. I'll get you next, Susan. Just raise your hand again. All right, Jenny, what you need help with?
Hi, Corinne. I was not planning to be on camera today, so I feel like I look like I just woke up. Okay, so I would like help with losing the last like 3 to 4 pounds. So I've been in OBS since May of 2024. I pretty much lost like 20 pounds very easily. Like 10 pounds of that was just boredom because I work from home and I was just going by the kitchen and eating out of boredom. The other 10 was overeats. And so now I'm at that last 3 to 4 pounds, and I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. I track every month. Like I have typically, like in a typical month, maybe like 4 overeats a month. So I've heard you
What
say
are they
something.
like?
Usually, it's when we go out to eat, and I just wanna. It's good, so I want to eat it, since I didn't have to cook it.
Why can't we just give that up to lose 3 to 4 pounds? Because I guarantee you that's where your 3 to 4 pounds is hiding.
Because I think it feels like I don't have to cook, so it's a treat, and I'm like enjoying myself.
It is. Answer me this. How is it more treatful if you prevent yourself from losing 3 to 4 pounds?
It's not. It's. I've heard you say multiple times, like, or other coaches have said, like, more doesn't make it better. More isn't better. And I know that. And I know that feeling when I have way too much and I'm like, oh, my digestion is terrible. But there's something about like going out to eat that, and the fact that I didn't have to cook it, that I don't want to stop.
Well, let me
I
ask you
don't.
this. If I brought you, what's a food? Do you love chicken livers like I do?
No.
Okay.
I love pizza or french fries would be my
All right.
favorites.
I show up at your house with a plate load of chicken livers and you ain't got to cook. I'm even going to clean your house for you. Are you going to be like, well, by God, I'm going to eat a bunch of them? I didn't have to cook them.
No, I would not be like that at all.
Why?
Because I don't like them.
Okay, but you also don't like this extra 3 or 4 pounds. Why can't we just substitute that in? It's not because I guarantee you the reason why you're eating at that restaurant is not because you don't have to cook. Otherwise, they could bring you, let's say that they brought you a plate full of broccoli and they're like, I ordered you from the diet menu. And the diet menu is unseasoned chicken, no salt, and broccoli steamed with no butter. Would you be like, well, give me a plate load because I mean, I didn't have to cook.
No. No.
Right. So it's not the food and it's not that you don't have to cook. So what is it really?
I think it is that voice, like I deserve a treat, or I deserve this, or almost like I'm at like what's the really the last 3 to 4 pounds? That's what I tell myself in that moment. Like, it's not really that big of a deal, is it? Because no one's probably going to notice if I lose 3 to 4 pounds. It's just a
No
goal
one
I
is.
set. It's a
And
goal I
all of
set for
that's very
myself.
true. And that is
Right.
your brain trying to get you to not miss out on something.
Yeah.
But none of that noise, all that noise is good to pay attention to. It's like when I hear that stuff in me, I always tell myself, oh yeah, that's that little voice that likes to pop up when I'm getting ready to really love myself. When I'm getting ready to really be there for myself. It's like, no, don't be there for yourself. Eat pizza.
Right. Well, right. And so I guess like another side of the question with that is how do I know if I am like the maintenance that I'm at? Because I maintain that easily for a year, no problem. How do I know if I'm just that 3 to 4 pounds is just maybe that's just not, maybe it's just not for me. Like maybe I'm at my goal weight.
I know why you want to lose. I know why 3 or 4 pounds is worthy of your time. Because you're trying to convince me that you should be able to overeat at restaurants instead of treating yourself well. You're like, instead of
Yeah.
like acknowledging myself and knowing how hard I work and whatever's going on, what I should do is really eat extra food when I go out to eat. That's how I know you should lose 3 to 4 more pounds, because between but it's not the 3 or 4 pounds and it's not the food. We've got a problem, which means when I go out to eat, it's the only way I feel deserving.
Yeah.
It's like that for me is when I actually feel like I can breathe and know that I get to rest, I get to whatever. Where else in your life are you not allowing for that? So much so that the only time that you can get that little bit of sense of, relief, relaxation, whatever's coming on for you, it only happens when you go out to eat.
Yeah, I think it's the excitement of it. And I just had this conversation the other day with somebody because I felt like my life was like I waste a lot of time on social media, I feel like, and it's very draining. And I'm always pissed at myself at the end of it that I wasted so much time. And I realized that it was actually last week. I wrote a list of all the things I wanted to do instead of that. And what I realized is I don't have excitement in my life outside of going out to eat. I work from home. I'm home most of the time. I don't have a lot of places to go outside of my home. I mean, I'm not like homebound by any means, but I just don't go that many places anymore. So I feel like going out to eat is excitement. And I also feel like I don't have other areas of excitement because when I am at home, I'm wasting my time on social media. So I wrote out this list of things that I could do instead. And I felt that excitement come back. Like, wow, I'm actually excited about these things. Like, I have things that I can do that I say I want to do, but that I say I never have time to do, so they never get done. But they're actually things I want to do. So I feel like this is tied into that somehow.
Okay, then why not just start doing some of those things? And when you go out to eat, remind yourself, I'm giving myself plenty of things to be excited. Because here's the thing, there's nothing wrong. Like, I went out on Friday night with my husband. We went to our bar, which I would just love to say for all of you, our bartenders decorate our back room, and it is the talk of the town. We had so many people there coming to see the Christmas room. I was shocked. But it was exciting for me to go out. I'm like you, I work from home. I go to three places each week, one of which is brand new. This is the second week in a row I went to church. So there's church. There's Anytime Fitness that I go to 3 times a week to lift weights. And if I go to the restaurant once a week, that is it. Sometimes I go to Publix now. Now I go to Publix where shopping is a pleasure. We just opened one and it's I live in the smallest of town. You can tell we are such a small town because of the shit we get excited about.
Yeah, I live in Nashville, so I know
But
where you live.
there's nothing wrong with being excited about it. The problem that you're stating is what I've noticed is that I'm so excited to go out to eat that I have to get so much pleasure out of it because I'm not getting pleasure anywhere else in my life.
Yeah, I think that's it.
And so we can give up on weight loss. And you'd be like, well, I'll give up that 3 to 4 pounds, which also simultaneously doesn't challenge you to find pleasure in the rest of your life. It
Yeah, I
means
think, yeah.
I just keep that one meal, that 2-hour session is the highlight reel of my week. And of course, you're going to want to overeat. We will want to overeat at that meal because it's not about the food and it's not because you're not cooking or anything. It's because the moment that ends, I have nothing else.
Yes, I'm back to boredom.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I knew this was part, some piece of this with coming up with this list of like other things to be excited about. But when you put the examples like, would I eat these other things? I'm like, no, absolutely not. I wasn't really connecting the out to eat as my only really excitement. And that's actually kind of like sad to like say out loud that that gives me even more motivation to do these other things.
I wouldn't be sad about it. I think it's great. Honestly, I would be very, if I was you, I would be very grateful to myself that you're noticing it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't notice that stuff ever, and they just live a sad life.
Yeah.
Not even, they just think, well, this is just how it is. I mean, it's just my age, it's just my job, it's just this, whatever. It's like we have so much more control over our lives than we really give ourselves credit for.
Yeah.
Even when we have really hard lives, we have usually more areas of control than we give ourselves credit for. Like, I get to decide how I think about my situation. Like, you can decide that this is sad that you do social and whatever, or you can be glad that it's like, well, I noticed I've been doing social to give myself excitement. I think what I want is excitement from other things. I mean, not many people take the time, like all of you do, to actually lose weight in a way that allows you to get a better life out of it. The only way we get that is by letting overeat signal, here's what's missing. Here's what I would really like. Are you willing to give me up for this? Which means I can still be excited to go out to eat. I can still eat things that I like. I just want to figure out how do I have more of that without it having to only be because I'm overeating.
That makes sense. Okay. This gives me more I've only thought this through in my mind, so talking about this out loud like this is also very helpful. So, yes, okay. That's the missing piece, I think. So, thank you.
Well, just give it a try. And then just notice the first few weeks when you go out to eat, you're still going to want to overeat. You're going to want to slow it down a little bit, just like breathe through it. You're going to want to anticipate, look, I haven't been giving myself enough pleasure in other areas of my life yet for my brain to believe that this isn't the highlight reel. Always remember that right now, your brain is in the habit of that being the fun part of your life. It doesn't know you really want to change it. Even when like we talk about it, it's going to like the second you walk into a restaurant, it's like, okay, our habit is to sit down and our habit is to get excited and our habit is to order what we love and our habit is to finish our plate. Our habit is to say we deserve it and our habit is to have all of these things come up. It's going to run all of those scripts. And it's going to take a while before they get rewritten. The part that makes it simpler is to know that's supposed to happen. None of that is like, oh, my coaching session with Corinne didn't work. I'm thinking all these things. It's like, yeah. And when you start adding in the new pleasures, you need to really tell yourself, hey, don't forget, we're doing this because we want more excitement in our life. And like, be really grateful to yourself. Like, make it a milestone moment. Like, your brain has to. You have to like tell it, look, you know how we normally get all of our joy out of going out to eat? Look, we're actually enjoying this. Like it needs to like, it's like talking to a toddler at times. You have to like really explain how things are happening so that your brain gets it. And then eventually it starts putting it all together and then it releases that need and all of those excuses and things when you go out to eat.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Thank you. All righty. She must have killed herself. Hang on. I keep thinking I'm going to. All right. She got off. All right. Let's see. Susan. Y'all know what I need. I need an optometrist in our group. If you are an optometrist and you can tell me, I have like everything you can imagine put on these glasses so that I can see well. And in terms of glare, that light, I swear. And Chris can't move it, otherwise I'll look like horse shit. So I need something that doesn't give me such a glare when I'm looking here. I was like, I have to look over here to see things clearly. All right, Susan, tell me the things. You look
Okay,
fabulous as usual.
you can hear me, right? Okay, good. My question is, I have been an emotional eater. I know this. My question is, in the moment, how do I recognize what I need? Mostly, what I feel like I need is to throat punch someone, a certain someone that is unacceptable, that I can't do, and I know that. I don't know how to
What else do I need to do? I mean, I try to drink water, I try to move, I try to, calm myself down. It's just I need something. I'm still writing my plan, I'm still drinking my water, my sleep is on point. I have gained back, I've had the regain. My life has been, shall we say, changing over the last 3 years, a lot. The last 6 months have been very, very stressful. Coming to the end of that, but I don't know how to recognize what I need in the moment.
I think you already have said it. You're angry.
Well, no doubt.
So when you're angry, what do you need? Because it's not punching people. But I want you to think about this. I mean, trust me. When you're angry, what do you need in that moment? That only you can give you, not somebody else's behavior changing or the situation changing. But think about moments when you're angry. What is the thing that you need that only you could give you?
The only thing I can give me is rethinking it. I've done the model on it sometimes. I know the biggest part of it is out of my control. It's, not happening to me. I'm involved in it. I
Are
honestly.
you angry about a situation?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. Now, I know a lot of you don't understand the model, but Susan's been here a minute and we used to do the model. So I'm going to ask you a technical question that 90% of these hoes ain't going to understand, but you will. Where are you putting anger in your model?
Circumstance and feeling.
Okay, good. Okay, it should not be the feeling.
Okay.
All right, now let me explain to you what I'm doing. Whenever you have something where you are repeatedly feeling it all the time, and it's become like almost, you probably intellectually know that your anger is a reflection of how you're thinking about a situation.
Right.
Just like kind of how everything works. But
Right.
sometimes in life, and this happens with me, I have situations where I have like a huge feeling like anger or disappointment or whatever it may be. And no matter how I look at the situation, like I know it's unfair or it's not right or whatever, I know that my thoughts are not going to change on this.
Right.
And so we move the feeling into the C line of,
Okay.
I'm angry about this. And now we make that just true. It's just true for me that while I go through this, I'm upset and I don't think it's right and everything. And we put all of that as the circumstance.
Okay.
Then we decide, now, how do I want to think about my anger about this? So, like, let's imagine you, and I don't know if this is what's happening, but I know I have like coached you a little bit in the Facebook group, but tell me if this is the wrong situation. You're sitting on the couch at night and you're mad at someone.
The
Okay.
couch, the chair, walking
Okay.
around town. Yeah.
Yes. All right. Let's just put, for the sake of argument, the circumstance now is you're looking at a version of you who is sitting on the couch and you're angry, like it is all flared up and stuff, and you feel like I need to punch you. What is one of your other thoughts? Like, there's nothing I can do about it, or like, what is one of the other thoughts that comes along with it?
Well, there's, I think mostly what I'm angry about is there's truly nothing I can do about it, but it affects my whole life.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to make that the circumstance.
Okay.
There's nothing I can do about this, and it's affecting my entire life. Now, what we want to do is we want to think about, all right, knowing that that is going to happen, knowing I'm going to feel that way, knowing that this is the legit season of my life, what do you most want to feel in the moment when you catch yourself so angry about it? For you, not for them, for you. What do you want?
For me, I want relief, not release.
Okay,
Okay, I
you
mean,
want relief. Okay.
relief.
All
I
right.
want to not be angry or not so angry.
Okay, that's not going to happen. So what we're
Right.
doing is we're putting in the circumstance. I'm getting triggered and angry and, all these things. And we're not like, I need you to be really mindful of like you and I are watching a movie. And it's the same movie every night. We're watching you sit on the couch or in your chair, pissed about your situation. And now we're trying to decide what could Susan feel in the moment that she's pissed, that would help her get through it. What could you do for yourself in that moment? And it's not, I don't want you to think drink water. If water helped anger, we would all be thin by now. Water can help hydrate our skin and it can help us with cravings, but it's not gonna like, it's not putting out the fire of anger. So what you have to think about, like in that moment when you know you're angry, what do you most need to hear from yourself that will help you in that moment while you're angry?
That I'm strong enough to handle it, strong enough to move on, that I'm doing okay, that it's not my fault. You know, I mean, I tell myself these things, but I don't really believe them.
You don't believe them because you were like, tell me why it made you tear up and like start almost crying when you said those things. What was that about?
You're probably going to laugh about this because I think it's ridiculous at this age, at almost 75 years old, to be fucking going through this shit. That's what it
Is that
just.
true? Just because you think it, I want you to think about this. Think about
No, it's
it.
not true. Life's not over. You know, old age is not golden age, it's tinfoil age. Life doesn't stop before you because you get old. Situations don't stop. I just have this thing in my head that it's ridiculous. It makes me angry. We shouldn't have to do this, shouldn't have to live through this. When the fact of the matter is, we do, we move forward.
I think that's more what you need to be telling yourself in the moment. There's a part of me that doesn't want this. There's a part of me that thinks we shouldn't have to deal with this, and that all is very true. But at the same time, we are going through it.
Right.
This is reality. I
Right.
think like in the when you're angry, it's coming from the this shouldn't be happening to me.
Right.
And that's the part of you that is so angry and who needs you to not shame her and tell her she's being ridiculous and, it's just a thought and all that stuff. You do that, you're gaslighting her, which makes her more angry. It's like she's a fiery, angry ball, and you're like, hey, I got some gasoline. You shouldn't feel that way. And this is just a thought. Let me just, create a bonfire now,
Yeah, really.
She really wants to hear, like, this is unfair. This is not
Okay.
right. She wants you to tell her in the moment that her feelings are valid, not
Okay.
invalid. And some of the other things that, like, I am handling this. It's just not easy. And we will get through it. And I also wish we didn't have to get through it. I think that will give her some relief that she's not crazy for being angry about it.
Okay.
that it's not bad to be angry or that there's nothing she can do. Because there may not be anything you do about the circumstances, but you can listen to her. And
Okay.
I think she's just screaming every night, like, somebody listen to me. I hate this. And you're just kind of like, we need to run a model and drink some water. She's like, fuck you. Go get me some
Exactly.
snacks.
Really? Where's the chocolate candy? What the hell?
Exactly. It's like water will not put out the fire. Maybe chocolate candy will, though.
Yeah, maybe.
I
Okay.
mean, how does it feel for you? I know that you're kind of a tough woman, and like the probably the listening and the compassion and the like letting that angry voice kind of have more of its peace instead of just trying to handle it could be newer to you. But do you feel like, I mean, what do you think about that?
Oh, I think I can give myself some grace. It's going to take some work for me to convince myself that it's okay to be angry.
Yeah.
And,
Well, tell
I'm,
this is, go
go
ahead.
ahead.
I just wanted to ask, why would it not be okay to be angry?
There's no reason for it not to be okay.
I think
It's
that's what
valid. It's valid.
I think that is going to give you more relief than anything, that it is okay to be angry about this. You know, there's very often when we learn about thought work, there's this weird thing that my coach friends of mine, we always talk about this. In fact, I was talking about it this week. I had a in my other business, I have a small group of coaches that I work with privately, and we were talking about when you're coaches, when you first learn things, and you're like what we are when we first learn. If you learn that your thoughts create your feelings, then suddenly it's almost like there's this trigger that says, well, then I should be able to outthink anything and I should never feel bad. You know, that's my fault if I feel bad. Except we were given all of our feelings for reasons, including anger and shame and guilt, disappointment. All feelings are very valid. And it's easy to think a negative feeling shouldn't be there or shouldn't be felt when very often in certain situations in life, you're just supposed to be angry about it
Okay.
and learn how to be understanding of the part of you that's angry and really listen to that version of you and be there for that version of you who literally is just like, this is so fucking unfair. I don't like this. It's just like for years, I was so angry about Logan's autism.
Yeah.
Just God. And I will tell you, that child is 23 years old. And I still to this, like, still to this day, I'm not happy about it.
Well,
And I don't want to be
right.
happy about it. And I'm
Right.
like, no, there's a lot of things I don't make myself as miserable about anymore. But the one thing that I always allow myself is to be like, it is very valid to not like this. It is
Right.
very valid to wish your child had a different life.
Right.
And that doesn't mean I need to turn those thoughts off or I shouldn't feel those things. It's like sometimes my mother heart breaks and it
Sure.
worries and stuff. And that's just the way it is. And you just like when you allow for that part of your humanness part, you notice you don't need chocolate as much because now
Okay.
you've got you. That under right now, chocolate is the version of you that's saying it's all okay. It's all okay. Your anger is valid. Now we just want Susan doing it instead of chocolate doing it.
Okay. All
All right.
right.
Hang
I
in there, mama.
will work on it.
All righty. Keep me
All right.
posted on how it goes, okay?
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I will.
Yeah. If you, I mean, I don't know where you talk, if you talk about it at all, but if you do it in the 55 plus group or whatever, just tag me.
Well,
I don't get to see.
they all know the circumstances. So.
Well, if you do talk about it and you want like my eyes on it at all, make sure you tag me because I don't read every
Okay.
tooth fart in all the groups anymore.
Sure.
I read everything I'm tagged in.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I scroll the feed and find things. I'm like, you're not hiding from me.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Sorry, I'm over here burping my energy drink. Bernadette. I know, Darlene. Susan is beautiful. 75. She's been looking amazing for a long time. She's got the
Okay.
most gorgeous hair, I swear. All right. Well, we coaching on Bernadette.
Hi, aloha. Well, nice to see you again.
You too.
Okay, I've been with No BS. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Since 2021, I'm down 135 pounds now and been keeping that for a long time. I
Okay.
was stalled for the last almost 2 years, and I'm finally reaching a plateau. Basically, I had my husband move out of the house that I built because things had been bad for so long, and that's probably why I was kind of stuck. And so now I'm going through this divorce, and he can basically be entitled to a lot of what I worked really hard to put together. I'm living off of my IRA now. I retired a couple of years ago, and he has absolutely zero. So I've been dealing with a lot of emotions. I finally got a lawyer that I think I'll be okay with. And I guess part of the reason I raised my hand is like I just kind of need some reinforcement or advice to how to keep myself regulated right now.
Okay. What would you say? What gets you dysregulated? Or just describe to me the dysregulation that you think you need help with.
That I have a substantial amount of money in my IRA, and I learned from the first lawyer I talked to that he is quote unquote entitled to 50% of any appreciation from the time we got married, which could be substantial.
Okay.
But at the same time, I also have a mortgage on my own that is also substantial, and I'm hoping it'll even out, and I'm hoping he's not going to ask for any of that. We tried to go uncontested, but then he got a lawyer involved and assets and debts and all of this. And now I'm like, okay, are you going to? I don't know what the result is going to be or what he may not ask for anything, but it's just this angst of I could lose a lot of what I worked so hard for. That's where the
Well,
angst comes from.
I think that is a very normal, like, the way our brain works is like, I should sense danger everywhere I can see it. And my job is not to point out the good stuff. My job is to like filter all the good in your life out so you can see every little thing that could ever hurt you. And so
Yeah.
our brain overdrives on that all the time. That is for all of you. Please hear me when I say this. That is your brain's natural design. Like, we do not want our brain to just sit around and filter out all the negative to the point that we never see bad things happening. It's like, oh my God, you're going to take half my IRA? I was just sitting here, thinking good thoughts all day long. We don't
Yeah.
want that, right? So we want to, like, the first thing that can help regulate us, I always think, is to have a fundamental understanding that when our brain is worrying, it's literally just trying to protect us. Okay. So that's always like step one for me. And step two is to always remind myself, my brain is not good at seeing other possibilities. It's black and white. It's like he's either going to take it all or everything's going to work out perfectly. Like, that's usually what our brain is like. I got two scenarios for you. And there's
Yeah.
usually 40 in between that we don't even
True.
think of. So, one thing that could help you is reminding yourself he could get half. He also could get nothing. What also could happen is I hire such a great lawyer that we come to a resolution I can live with. What also could happen is somewhere in between, he's going to win a little bit, I'm going to win a little bit. And I bet that what ends up happening isn't that I lose every or lose I, my worst case scenario is probably not going to happen, and my best case scenario is probably not going to happen. What's going to happen somewhere in the middle? I just don't know what that is right now, and that's why I'm so worried.
Yeah.
But I always take faith in knowing that human brains are so stupid when it comes to predicting the future. Like, you think about this. I look back on my past, on all the things that I have worried about in my lifetime that I just thought and believed without a shadow of a doubt, this is probably going to happen. It's probably going to happen. I should worry about this. I need to, blah, 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 blah. 99% of my biggest fears never came true. I thought I'd never marry again when I divorced my douchebag ex-husband at 21.
I think of you with that. I think about you because I'm like, God, I part of me beats myself up and I'm trying to really control that because I made, like how you've said in the past, I made the decision based on what I knew at the time.
Yeah.
And worst case scenario ended up playing out, you know, like he cleaned out the bank accounts without letting me know and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, God, how could I have been so freaking stupid? And
Or,
I guess that's part of the angst too.
yeah, it's like I think you just need to like really look at the story you're telling yourself about this. Like, I could call myself stupid, or I could say he's an asshole.
Yeah.
That's not a you being stupid problem. That's him not being a great person problem.
Yeah.
That you're turning into a you problem. And we do that because our brains want to explain. See, whenever your brain feels like it got hurt or whatever happens, like someone stole from me, it wants to know why. And our brains
Yeah.
always want to blame ourselves because the reason why we like to blame ourselves is because inherently we know if I can find out why this is my fault, I won't ever have to do this again. Instead of like, I could never do this again without it being my fault. I could just believe it's kind of a jerk or whatever kind of person he is. However you want to explain it.
Right.
Like that's what I used to say about my ex-husband is, and I still do this day, he stole from me. I mean, now I didn't have all the money you had, but you know, the $1,000 I had to my name back in the day, that was all I
That's a
had.
lot. And
Yeah,
that's a lot.
when you're 20, working two
Yeah.
jobs and you'd saved up $1,000 to hopefully pay off your rooms to go bill or wasn't even rooms to go back then. I don't even remember what little shitty place I don't even remember some furniture store because I bought a couch. I was going to pay off my bills.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be like my mother and have tons of debt. And he took all my money. And I could have easily said, I was so stupid for marrying him. I'm so this, that, and the other. And it's like none of that was true. I was in love. He presented a side that I thought looked appealing. I got married. He turned out to be a liar and a thief. And I know what to look for now without it being Kryn was dumb.
Right.
And I think like when you're asking about regulating yourself, I think one of the things has to be you really want to spend some quiet time with yourself and write the story you're telling yourself about this, honestly. And then go back through it and tell it in a way where you are not to blame, where you are the hero, where you have compassion for yourself. You make sense of all the things that happened. It's not because something was wrong with you. You need to do that for yourself. One, that will save you from so much dysregulation. The other thing, though, is just knowing too, in your body, what does it feel like? When I can tell the old story, the old stuff is just running and I'm feeling this way. And we want to get really good at knowing that and then have ways to center ourselves, to ground ourselves. Do you know what those are?
Well, I have a basic routine. I exercise 4 days a week. I go to my water aerobics, and it was rainy last night, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and then I can't go to sleep because my brain starts rolling. But it was raining, and I pulled my car out into the rain at 2 o'clock in the morning and let the rain wash it, and I just finished wiping it down so I didn't have to use my water. So
That's smart.
that yeah, but that
Where
was
the hell do you
regulation.
live? It's like 17 degrees here. Where do you live?
In Hawaii.
Nice.
Yeah, I came to the Queen's camp. I met you for
Yeah.
like a second and a half. But yeah, so we're getting rain, but it's still warm. It's like, I don't know, probably 70, 80 degrees outside.
It was 16 degrees when I hauled my ass to the church this morning. I was like, I almost didn't go. I was like, ooh, that's a long walk to the front door. I'm like, I don't know if I can take this with my delicate skin.
Yeah, so I try to keep I'm really trying to plan more to keep myself busy to get that regulation.
Yeah, so there's like that's really good, I think, planning some things to keep you busy, but keep like things that you will enjoy, things that will like ground you and stuff. But I think also spending some time with your thoughts and feelings about the situation. Spending some time really listening to it's kind of like what with Susan, spending some time with your side of the story. What is that story I'm telling myself right now? Because you just want to make sure that you are reassuring yourself, like all the parts is like, what if, what if, what if, what if. I always like to, whenever I'm really worried about something, I like to what if myself to death. And then I like to go back and I like to think about, all right, what if that did happen? And what if this did happen? It's called worst case scenario planning, because most of the time the worst case scenario never happens, but there's a sense of relief and calm that comes over your body when your brain is not just circulating what, when it's just in your brain going, what if, what if, what if, your brain's not equipped to solve it. Because the part of you that's doing the what ifing is not your reasoning brain. It's not the part that thinks. It's the part that's like running on like habit and it doesn't reason. It doesn't really think things through. It's just kind of like throwing things at you all the time. So the only way to calm that part, you can't outthink that. You have to literally write it down and
Just
see what
purge
is
it,
it.
basically.
Yes. And then go through each one. And it can take a few weeks to go through. You don't have to do it in one day, but you just kind of go through one by one and you say, now, if this did happen, here's what I would do. And here's how I know it would be okay. And you go through it. And then as you keep going through all of those, there is a sense of like, it's not like you're going to feel amazing, but you don't feel amped either. There's just a sense of like, for lack of a better word, calm that comes kind of over you. Like, okay, I can see on paper now, I can handle almost anything that happens. I have a plan for it. And then I always write to myself, and Corinne, you just went through every worst case scenario and the likelihood of worst case scenarios happening is low. Probably what's going to happen is like mid case scenario. It ain't going to be best case. It's probably going to be mid case. And that will feel way better than my worst case scenarios.
True.
So you do that. And then I think the other half is just telling yourself the story of, for me, like I was so stupid, or I should have seen this, or I should have known better. Like all of the things that are going on, if there's any of that happening, you go through that and you let that part of you who feels ashamed and embarrassed, and like you did something wrong, or like you should have known better, whatever that is. You let her speak for a little bit. She's not worst case scenario. This is doom and gloom person. She don't
Right.
even care about all this. She's just like, I got worries. We need to talk. This version over here is like, look, I feel terrible about this. It's all my fault. I need somebody to talk to about it. You talk to her next. You talk about why this is not her fault and that she really did. Like here are the things that happened. I thought that this was supposed to be it. Like legit.
Yeah.
I mean, if you knew somebody was going to turn out to be an asshole, X amount of years later, if somebody told you that day, you probably would have been like, whoa, okay, thank God you told me. But nobody was
Yeah.
telling you that, and you're not supposed to be able to see into the future.
True.
Did you,
Okay.
if you go to resources where our like bonuses
Yeah.
and stuff are, maybe try running the what is that camp, y'all? Hero of your story or something like that? The hero one.
Oh, okay. That was my very first camp. Be the hero of your own story.
Yeah, you need to redo that camp
Okay,
with
I got
this.
that. I
You
still
need to
have the
become the,
workbooks.
yes. Well, it's all on the website.
Okay, oh yeah, true, true.
Yeah. Rewatch the videos
Okay.
and do it through, like, the only thing I'm working on is this divorce. How am I going to
Okay.
become the hero of my story?
Okay,
Because
okay.
you are the hero of this story. That's your
I
choice.
am determined to be. I know I'm going to be okay. It's just right now, it's just.
Yeah. That's why we want to just kind of do the hero thing last. First, let's get your worries down on paper and you work through your what ifs and you
Okay.
work through worst case scenarios. Give yourself a soft landing place there.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I would do is work through this is what it feels like when I'm dysregulated, when there's something running hot underneath my hood. Here are the techniques I can use. If you go to the website, we have a new nervous system resource page that Kathy pulled
Oh,
together.
yeah. I haven't looked at it yet, but I've heard about it. Yes.
It's in this week's newsletter. So if you just need the link, it's right there. It's also on the website. But
Okay.
go through there and look for some things, but like, I think this might work. When I can feel it, but I can't really outthink it right now. I can do these things. Because
Okay.
intellectually, what I know is when I'm feeling this way, something's going on in me, and I need to calm me down first before I can even get my brain wrapped around what's happening and how I'm going to talk to myself and stuff. I got to take my body temperature down first, then do
Gotcha.
hero of your story. I think by then you'll be
Okay.
ready for that part.
Okay. All right. We've already done, he served me papers, so I got a lawyer to take care of that stuff. So the thing's in process, and yeah, I'm hoping for the best. But
Yeah.
like you just said, and weigh out the listing is good because I have been doing that. Try just back on paper. Because it helps. It does calm me down. So I will do that.
And if you have anything that you're finding where you're like, I'm really stuck on this, I don't see any other way to see it, or I just keep thinking this, I just keep thinking this, and no matter how much work I'm doing on it, it's just coming back, it's coming back, coming back. Take that to ask coaches.
Yeah.
That is
They
a
helped me.
really
Ask coaches helped me a lot through when all of this stuff was going on. I have all the back and forths from going through this, and it's like this is making me crazy, and they helped me out, and it just got to a point where it's like, no, I can't do this anymore. It's not good for me mentally, physically, any of it. So yeah, okay,
well, if you
I
can
got
get
some
through
steps.
that, you can get through this.
True that, true that,
You know,
true
the
that.
hardest, I always think of when it, especially when it comes to marriage, you've been married forever and stuff, is the hardest part is making the decision and walking away.
Yeah, well,
Everything after
this was
this is
like
not.
he had to leave. It's like, no, I built this. This is
Right.
mine.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, I got some steps. Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
You're welcome, Vernon, to
All
help.
right.
Bye
All
bye.
right, have a good one. Bye.
I was in Hawaii. Rachel. Brings it in here, cold ass Nashville. I'm like, ugh, I live in the South. It's not supposed to be this cold. Ah. I would like to thank all of you, though. If you don't know, my husband's family, they're all upstairs having Christmas. They're nice people, but I mean, they are very lovely people. I told Chris, I was like, you know, I could get a coach. Like, Rachel, let me try to get you up here for some reason. There you go. See if that'll help you. I told him, I was like, well, I could get another coach, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I'd rather just do my coaching call. I was like, are you going to be okay with just, you know, if I'm not upstairs and whatnot? He's like, oh yeah. Curtis is real understanding and stuff. He's like, oh yeah, like whatever. And so I'm basically hiding out down here. They are such lovely people. I almost feel bad for not wanting to be up there, but I'm just not that social anymore. And I have a thing. That's one reason why I don't like even hardly talk to my dad anymore. Like if we don't talk much and stuff, I don't like just seeing each other once a year and rehashing the same conversation over and over. I just figure like I don't have any updates. Other than my hair, nothing's really changed since last year. Here we are. So, well, Rachel, I don't know where you're at.
I am looking for a parking spot real quick in a parking lot so that I can come on video. So I'm
Oh,
almost
okay.
here.
Okay.
I'm running errands. So
Oh,
one
that's
second
fine.
and I'll pull over.
You're good. Let me look
Okay.
and see if you... Weather in South Florida is all four seasons in 1 week. Yeah, my mom's always talking about Florida. She is. It's like 19 to 25 wind chill in Birmingham and dropping. Yeah, everybody in the South just buckle up. It's cold. I think the high today is like 20 something in Nashville. I'm like, this is some bullshit. At least I ain't got anywhere to go today or tomorrow. Well, after I went to church, I ain't got nowhere else to go. All right, Miss Rachel, what are we
Hey,
coaching on?
that is cold. We're 85 today because it's insane.
Do not say that. Get out. I'm not going to coach you. You should have
Just
nothing needing coaching on. You have such great weather. All right. What do you
insane.
need
We
help
should
with?
not be this hot. As you know, because I am in the group that you were talking about earlier, I'm trying
Yes.
to figure out how to be successful in all three areas of my life, which is what Katie's got me working on: my health, my family, and my business.
Okay.
And I really, you know, I've got the stuff with mom right now, but I'm okay. Like I'm gonna figure that out. I really want to lose the weight that I have gained. I am up about one to two sizes from where I want to be. I've listened to the Regain program. I feel like I'm doing all the things. But I'm kind of on a little stall right now. I was losing half a pound to a pound a week average, looking at Happy Scale, tracking it. But right now, I haven't lost a thing since Thanksgiving. And I know we've eaten out a little more, so it may be sodium. But I just want to see, is there anything more I should be doing, or do I need to just calm the F down because we know I get a little wound up? I think I'm doing everything, but when I lost my weight before, it was with a macros coach, and it was full of all the asshole type stuff that you talk about you don't need to do. But part of my
Okay.
brain is like, well, it's because you're eating out. You know you're not supposed to do that. It's because you did this. You know you shouldn't do that. So help me see if I need to level up or if I'm doing okay and it just is going to take a little while. Because I'd love to be back at goal. I'm not going to hit it by February, but by the time I see you going into the first week of May, I would love to be back at my goal to celebrate at the end of that second on-site.
Okay. So, the last 3 weeks, have there been any overeats?
There was one where I ate and realized I was full. There was one time where my stomach felt full, and it was post-Thanksgiving weekend, and it was a little more coconut cream pie. And I knew at the time I probably shouldn't have eaten it, but it was homemade and it was delicious. And then after about 20 minutes, and I felt like I still had room. And about 20 minutes later, it was like, oh, okay, I really shouldn't have had that because my stomach is full now.
Okay. And then tell me, other than sodium, why you think going out to eat has you on a stall if it wasn't sodium.
Because my old coach used to demonize going out to eat, and that was what she always told me was my reason I wasn't losing weight. So it's
And
just there.
what was her thoughts on that? Like, what is it like? I know that she thought it was bad, and that's fine because maybe for what she was doing, it wasn't going to work. But what is it like when you think about it, other than her opinion, why are you thinking like it's not sodium and it's not her opinion? What could be happening when I go out to eat that's got me on a stall?
It could be eating too much, but I'm also eating less than half. I'm checking in with myself. I'm bringing leftovers home. It's to the point my boys are checking in with themselves. And like Ty brought half of his dinner home last night. So
Okay.
I know I'm consistently doing it.
Right. So, but why do you think you're eating too much?
Honestly, I don't think I am. Like, I think
Well, I
I'm
know
eating.
you like there's a difference, but like tell me not what you bring home and stuff because like if you let's say you go to my restaurant and you order the catfish dinner. And I know our catfish dinner. And you take half home and you eat half there. You're overeating. For
Because
sure.
of the,
It's really four servings. I mean,
And
technically, it's like a four serving meal. So the reason why I say that is not because taking half home is a bad thing, but when I ask, why do you think you're eating too much? And you immediately go into, well, I'm taking half home, I'm doing this. Like those are tactics and those are amazing. And we do not want to like stop those and we don't want to shame them. But what you didn't tell me is the reason why I know I ate to enough is because I felt this, these signals, and I dead stopped.
I'm struggling with knowing what enough is. You know, I really don't know. And I've listened to the trainings and the extras. And so I'm just eating less. I'm leaving bites behind. I'm kind of watching to see, am I hungry in that 3 to 4 hour mark, or did I have enough to try to train myself what it is? I listened
So
to
we got to
MJ
get
where
to
she.
know that the answer is you have to get to know you're enough.
I don't know
Like
how to figure
just,
that out.
yeah, you do. Look, if you can do SEO, build a business on your own and stuff, drive a car, driving a car in traffic is harder than getting to know whether or not you had enough or not. Some of y'all are like, I've got members in here, brain surgeons. They're like, oh, I don't know how I'd find enough. I'm like, but you can operate on a brain? You can raise a baby. All right, let me tell you this. Let's say, oh my God, why can I not think of your kid's name all at once? I know Ty, what is she? Christopher, and it's
Christopher.
Chris's name. I'm like, this is menopause, exactly menopause.
You and
All
me both.
right, let's say Christopher, because I know how you are about your child. Y'all, this woman loves this child. Like, it loves him like to the point where I feel ashamed at the love I have for my own child. All right. Christopher comes to you and he's gaining weight. And it's hard on him. And let's say he's even getting bullied in school. All right. So the stakes are raised. And you know that the best way for him to lose weight without becoming like an eating disorder victim would be to teach him. How does it eat to enough? What would you say to Christopher? Would you just be like, I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to figure that out. I mean, our bodies, I guess you're kind of screwed.
True life scenario, because he's going through a growth spurt and feels like he's gotten fat and is upset. So we just had this conversation trying not
What'd
to
you
have.
tell him?
I've followed intuitive eating for him his whole life. And so we've talked about, is your tummy hungry? Has your tummy had enough? Is your tummy full? So for him, he'll just say, my tummy's full. I know what full feels like, and I don't like to feel full. Like, I've
So you
figured
do
that out.
know enough. So enough is right below that. So if
Because
you
I.
had to get, like, I want you to think about, what if he said, well, Mama, I know what full is like.
Yeah.
I know clearly when I'm at full, but I mean, how do I know when I'm at enough? What would you say?
Try a couple bites less
Okay,
and
there's a start.
see how your tummy feels. And if you're still hungry, I've taught him to wait 20 minutes. If you're still hungry in 20 minutes, then maybe your body does need a little more food. So maybe that's because it isn't it about 20 minutes for your stomach to tell your brain?
I mean, yeah, but I want you to think about you keep trying to go to tactics
Yeah, I
instead of
do.
statement, like, what is my body signals?
I've struggled with body signals because I struggled with hunger signals until like absolute hunger pain. I've always struggled with this signal, so I don't know. I'm really trying to
But
figure
you
it out.
just told me you're really good at knowing when you're hungry.
I'm getting better. Yeah. I'm getting
Yeah.
better at figuring it out before my stomach is actually growling and I feel half
And
nauseous.
how did you do that? How did you do that? How did you get good at figuring that part out when you didn't know before?
I listened to you and you talked about the headaches and I realized that was part of it for me is if I'm getting a headache, it's because of hunger. I also have started realizing that urges are not hunger. There, I've learned that from you've taught me a lot, Corinne, because I listen to everything. I'll walk in my pantry and I'll stand there and I'll stop myself and say, why am I in here? And often during the workday, it's just because I'm bored. I want an escape from my computer.
So
So I'm
why do you
learning.
think, all right, so you have the skill of learning.
Yeah.
The difference, I think, between hunger and enough for you is for some reason, finding hunger you have decided is possible. And another thing you have decided is that enough is an impossible Rubik's Cube to solve.
It's just been a struggle. And I think I spent 5 years on macros where I was counting and using the scale for everything. And so I think it bordered on eating disorder, if we're being completely honest. Like it got really bad. I got really skinny, and then everything happened with my mom, and I gained it, as we've talked about. And I want to learn how to do it different this time, but I also want to fit back in my jeans, damn it.
Right. And but to do it different this time doesn't require math. It requires paying attention to your body. So when you're
Okay.
eating, are you like, I know you, you're very data driven, very analytical.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You're going to have to know that about yourself, that this is not going to be an experiment in data and analytics. This
Okay.
is going to be, if you want to collect data, you need to collect data on what's physically happening in your body. And mentally happening, it's time to stop it enough. So there will be some times that you are going to eat and you're going to be like, I don't know if I'm at enough. I would dead stop.
Okay.
I would not eat anymore. I'd say like, all right, this is an experiment. Just like if we were going to experiment with SEO. If y'all don't know what SEO is, it doesn't matter. This is her language. She knows what this is. This is like, not a big deal. Don't pay attention to this part,
It's
but
nerd talk. It doesn't matter. Yep.
that's right. So, like, if I need to figure out what is the search engines are going to find, I'm going to have to play with keywords for a while, aren't I? I'm going to have to kind of experiment. You're going to have to do the same thing with your body. You're going to have to say, like, okay, my brain is thinking, oh, maybe this is enough. And you're going to want to keep eating because you're unsure. The best way to find enough for all of you is to stop eating when you're unsure because your brain will want to keep eating for certainty. It's certain it can get to full. It's certain it knows it wants to finish that plate. It's certain that half makes sense. The problem is a lot of you, when you need certainty and you're trying to do something that it is inviting you to do things you're not certain about yet, to figure out if that's going to work, you like, that's where I stop. So, what I want you to do is now be like, okay, when I eat, my job is to really pay attention, not just to eat half and call and be like, I hope that's what it is. It is to say, like, I'm going to eat and I'm probably going to think I've had enough way before I think that's right, way before I want to stop. It's probably going to be like, like my brain is going to be And the only reason why it's going to do that is because
Mm-hmm.
your brain is a habit machine. It is
Okay.
very used to looking at food and thinking, this is when I stop. You have stopped at this point so many times in your life. I don't know that we should do anything different. And it
Okay.
won't know until you break the pattern long enough to see, oh, yeah, that is enough. Now I just got to get to where my brain doesn't fight that. Now I just have to get to the part where I'm like, okay, this is okay because I know I can eat more later if I need to, but I am going to stop. And then if anything
Okay.
comes up that's emotional, now I figured out where my next, where how to bust the plateau. It is the
Okay.
emotional reason why I want to keep eating, not because I don't know what enough is.
Okay, that makes sense. And I did that. We went out to dinner last night, and I did find I was kind of questioning, and it was like not even a quarter of my meal, but it was pasta. And I was like, this is heavy. I don't need a whole bunch of it. And I did box up the majority of my dinner, and I felt fine. And I watched for a couple hours afterwards, and I got hungry about 9:30. And I thought, okay, it's been 3.5 hours. I could be hungry or I could just go to bed soon. And so I just went to bed because I didn't really need anything else. So, okay, that makes sense. So I'm on the right track.
And then rather than telling yourself, I'm not good at finding my emotion, my enough, you need to tell yourself, I've not practiced long enough to really know yet,
Okay.
which is different than not knowing. When we say over and over again, I don't know how, I don't know how, I don't know this because of that, then our brain has no reason to figure it out. We've literally just said, we don't need a solution. You don't know, and you don't know because of all these things. Well, you can't change your past. So our brain is like, I should stop thinking about it. Why would I ever sit around in my shower and problem solve? But if you open it up as a problem that can be solved, like, you know, right now I don't know my enough signals yet.
Okay.
Every meal, I want to really pay attention until I get good at it. Then your brain, like, literally will think about it, like, in the shower while you're doing weird things. Like, if you think about, like, you know, in business, if you got a
Yeah.
problem to solve in your business, when do we normally unravel the problems? When we're doing something else.
Yeah,
All of a sudden we
exactly.
have ideas, and all of a sudden we have these things. It is the same with the stuff. If you
Okay.
constantly tell yourself, I don't know how, I don't know how, or, you know, whatever, your brain is never given a challenge to think about it ever. It's like, all right, well, you don't know. I guess that's just the truth.
Okay. So just focus on that. I'm learning, kind of like I'm learning the other. Okay, that makes sense.
Because that's all you're doing. And I guarantee you can figure it out, but you have to be determined that your brain can figure it out. Like, all it really does take to find enough is sometimes I'm going to have to eat slower than I normally do. We all have a pace we normally eat at. I mean, you've practiced that pace probably since you were 10 years old.
Probably, yeah.
So when we, like, one of the frustrating things with weight loss, like the way that I do it, it's not because it's hard to slow down. It's because you're in such a habit, you'll forget, and you have to, like, consciously do it until we're so used to now the new way.
Okay.
That's all we have to do. So you need to slow down. You're going to have to think more than most of you think about what's on your plate. You're not thinking about what's in your body. So it's like you'll look like, your pasta thing was a really good example. I'm like, I love what you did. I'm not poo-pooing on it, but I want you to notice you were trying to decide enough based on what was left on your plate. And I want you to decide what was enough based on, are my pants tight? How's my digestion level? Am I burping? How's my breathing? Like, what's going on, like, in my mouth? You know, am I feeling more? That is, like, when I say you, like, intuitive eating is called listening to your body, not listening to your plate. Because
Okay,
your
that
plate
makes
is a
sense.
liar. The plate is a liar. It's just like, look at me, I'm a platter of food.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense because everything I did the first time was all based on macros, and it was like, well, if you have 100 calories left, you can still have some, but you might not be hungry. And what I'm finding, especially if we go out, I tend not to be hungry for another meal. So like I'm skipping, but it's truly, I'm not hungry. I don't need something else, or I have a piece of fruit. Okay. I'm gonna
Yeah,
figure it out.
I don't have anything against macros, counting calories, all that kind of stuff. What I have against it is that when women default to that and they do not understand their body 1 ounce anymore, it is like abdicating. It would be just like saying, well, I'm in this marriage and he's just going to get to make all the decisions. I mean, I married a man. What am I gonna do about it? And if you want to abdicate, that's very different. But the same thing happens when we go on these diets. It's like, well, I just gotta do what Weight Watchers said. Even if I'm starving my ass off, I gotta ignore myself. I remember when I was on Weight Watchers, I was never satisfied. I was always one of two things: starving my ass off and out of points. Or wasn't hungry, but had an abundance of points for the day. It was eating because I had points. But I don't ever, hardly ever remember there just being days upon days where I'm like, you know what? I feel pretty good today. This is working in my favor. Like I can tell in my body, blah, blah, blah. They didn't like all of those programs, they take our thinking out of it. And I just need y'all thinking while you're eating. And for you, it's not thinking so much about what's on the plate. It's like, all right, now that I am eating, what am I noticing in my body? And the same thing will help with your hunger too. It's more about like, I notice this thing and I notice this thing and I notice this thing. Those are now my signs.
That makes sense. I just didn't know what they were because I'll be honest, I never listened to them.
And
Probably because
that's
I'm a
very
normal
common.
woman.
You are. And honestly, if you think about it, even when we're kids, I mean, I remember when I was growing up, we just didn't have food a lot. So it was either, for me, we either were starving, legit starving, or we were stuffing our face because we didn't know when we would be eating again. And so we were like, it wasn't even safe for us to ask, have I had enough? Like my mom would be like, keep eating. It could be another day or two before we eat again. Like, go for it. So you just have to remember, most of us, after we got past about the age of, I don't know, nursing, we've been disconnected. I mean, how many times have you seen parents, and we've all been guilty of this. I have been guilty of this. Of when a kid is like at toddler stage and they're so interested in playing and they don't want to eat. And so, like, I remember when Logan was little, he would eat a little bit and then he'd want to get down and he'd want to go play. And I didn't feel like he ate much. And I'd be like, are you sure you're done? Are you sure? And what that teaches us from an early age is, wow, somebody outside of me knows more about what I should and shouldn't be eating than I do. And that's not like we're trying to be bad parents or anything, but it's just really normal because as an adult, we're sitting there thinking like, okay, I just made this meal. I know we're not going to eat for this many hours and you're a little kid and you're going to have to wait this long and blah, 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 blah. Like we're like calculating lots of things. Little kids are just like, I think my belly's done and I've lost interest and so I'm good.
Yeah, and that makes sense because I didn't grow up with the same scenario you did. I grew up with a mother who served everything and determined what the portion sizes were and the clean plate club. And we got stickers because I didn't have a big appetite. I got stickers for cleaning my plate. And if I got enough over the course of the month, I got a toy. So,
It wouldn't
not
make
a big deal.
sense why, like, for you, stopping at enough kind of is difficult or whatever. It's like, in my head, finishing your food was rewarded. That meant I was doing a good job or I was doing it right. And
Me too.
now stopping at enough means like now it's just reverse. Like when I was a kid, that was the rules then, but it's not the rules now.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to figure out because I was never allowed to learn what my enough was. It was what mom said it was.
And most
So,
kids are like that. Most kids
yeah,
grow up that way.
exactly.
So.
Exactly. Okay, that gives me a lot to work on. Thank you, Corinne. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Y'all, so my mother was telling me the other day about my uncle and her when they were growing up. My uncle hated meat, and my mother loved meat, but she hated vegetables and he loved vegetables. So my grandmother was just like, you sat at the table and you finished your plate no matter what. So they would kind of dick around with eating because they knew that granny would go to the kitchen and start cleaning the kitchen. And so they would kind of eat slow and whatnot. And then she would leave. And so they would trade plates. They would just be like, I'll eat all your vegetables. I'll eat all your meat. I was like, y'all are so funny. Corinne, could you please offer me a thought for relief from having gained a lot of weight and never being successful at losing weight? Well, the first thing I would just tell myself is we need to know why you don't have relief now. Like, what is it that you're telling yourself that, because you're acting like having gained weight and never have lost weight, those are just facts. So we don't know what is causing you stress about that. And that's what you've got to find first. We need to know, like, what is it that you are saying to yourself that makes it to where, like, it's so hard on you? Most of the time, people will make gaining weight mean something bad about them. I'm out of control. I'm lazy. I have no willpower. Like, we go into basically the best way to do it is to ask yourself, what am I making my weight gain mean about me? And then when you answer that question, you are going to find all the reasons why you can't find relief right now. And those things that you're telling yourself, if you will just be with this one thing, these things feel true, but they aren't the truth. When something feels true, that just means I have repeated it so many times to myself, and I have seen other people think those things. I have heard people say things to me about this is what being overweight means, or this is what weight gain means. I can see why this would feel true to me. That right there gives you from relief from I am lazy versus I can see why I call myself lazy. I have seen this in movies. I have seen this. I have heard this from trainers, or I remember when my mother growing up, like sometimes what we will make things mean about ourselves. It's like when we were growing up, I remember my mom all the time saying she could lose weight if she wasn't so lazy. So I hear that over and over again in my lifetime. Then what happens is when it's time for me to lose my weight, and if I'm not doing it, I assume I must be lazy. Instead of what I always tell y'all is that, you know, if you've gained a lot of weight or you've regained weight or you have not been able to lose weight and keep it off, it is an emotional reason. It is not a morality issue. Every single one of us that is in no BS, you would not have joined if at the heart of your eating wasn't coping. Coping with something. It doesn't mean it was all big and dramatic, but a lot of us are stress eaters. A lot of us eat when we're bored. A lot of us eat because no one ever taught us that it's okay to just feel bad sometimes without having to run to the pantry to figure it out. And so the way that I do it is I always like to think to myself, like I look back on, you know, the 250 pound version of Corinne. I can see so clearly why I was so overweight all of those years. All of it makes a lot of sense. I was very hard on myself. No one had ever taught me how to talk to myself. I was not around people that were encouraging. Like, y'all, my mom was not a bitch. My mom didn't have time to teach me to be encouraging. My mom was always hustling, working, and telling me I had to figure it out myself. I heard my mom, my mother is a self-loather. If you ever like are around my mom long enough, you'll hear She just like it's kind of like that. I think she's sometimes just trying to be funny, but she also like has a lot of beliefs about herself. And I listened to her all my life saying that she was dumb, that she just had to work hard, and that she was never, that the best years of her life. Well, I remember my mom telling me this all growing up, and please don't have pity for me when I say this because I am way past this. I remember my mother innocently telling me growing up that her life stopped the day she had me. And it wasn't that it stopped and became the best day. And she must have said 100 times, my life was over the day I had you. And not to make me feel bad, but she was trying to impress upon me when I was growing up that she did not want me to be a teen mother. She did not want me to work as hard as she had to work. She didn't want me to have the life that she womaned up and did because she was a single mother. My dad left us. And she had two little kids making minimum wage. And in her mind, saying that was her way of saying, I just want better for you. And she didn't know how to do that. But I hear that growing up. And of course, when I get older, now I'm thinking things like, being like, I remember my mom telling me all the time that I needed to lose weight because, unlike her, I needed to find a good man to take care of me so I wouldn't have to work hard like her. Like, to her, finding a good man was the legit answer to all of life's problems. Because in her mind, had she just had someone with her while raising me and my brother, in her mind, it would have all been so much easier and better. And maybe it would have been, but I can see why she felt that way. And I can see why, for me, when I would be overweight in my 20s, especially, and in my early 30s, when I was overweight, I made it mean my husband's not going to love me. He's going to leave me. I'm not going to be able to take care of this child. I'll never be able to do like my mother did for me. I won't survive this. I bet he doesn't love me. He must be disgusted by me. I thought all of those things all the time. So when I look at your question, it is no wonder I was eating because I never interrupted any of those stories. I never understood that my weight issues were solvable when I would solve the issues underneath them. I was never going to lose my weight on Weight Watchers or counting calories or macros. They were never going to fix the things that were broken. Ever. Because the pieces that were broken were deep inside me. I knew how to do math. I knew like what was healthy and wasn't healthy. None of that mattered when food was the only way I knew how to feel better. If it was the only thing I knew, like I used to work all the time, like in my 20s and 30s. Of course, I work a lot now. I just don't need the food to get me through it. I'm fueled with piss and vinegar for you guys. But when I was in my 20s and 30s, I worked all the time, multiple jobs, for fear that I wouldn't be able to take care of myself. And so I would eat to keep going. And not because I just didn't have the energy, but it was because I was draining myself all day long by telling myself, I've got to outwork everybody around me because I'm stupid, because I don't have an education. I remember Chris telling me this one time. Back in the day when I worked for this company, I was literally the hardest working person in the department, the smartest person in the department, like all the things. I got like, all the awards, all the stuff. But in my mind, everybody else was a better person than me. I was just lucky to like not be fired. And so every day I was eating at night because I was trying to outwork everybody from fear, instead of taking a rational look and saying, like, you get the best reviews. You keep getting promoted. You're getting the hard projects. Work hard because you're good at it. Go home proud. Don't go home hoping that tomorrow's not the day you get fired and lose everything. I didn't know how to do that. So it's no wonder I ate. So it's really important for y'all to really understand what is my weight about? Because it's not because something's wrong with me as a person. It is not my laziness. It's not my discipline. It's not my willpower. It's not because I'm disgusting. It's not any of that stuff. There's always a good reason why we've put on weight. And we just got to figure those things out. And you can't figure those things out until you stop making it mean something about you. If you were on the hunt for there's got to be a good reason for this, then once we find the reasons, now we can find the solutions, the real solutions. As coaches, we'll help you with that. But it's not enough to just give you a thought. I can't just give you a thought, not if underneath all of it is self-loathing. There's no thought I'm going to give you that can outweigh the self-loathing until you start looking at it. And you start thinking, like, God, there's got to be reasonable explanations for this. Now, the other part is never being successful losing weight. Here's my blanket statement I tell everyone. If you've never worked on the emotional reasons why you're overweight, there was no diet that was ever supposed to work. They weren't fixing the problem. That would be like saying, I've got a car and there's smoke coming out of the trunk. You know what I should do? I should drive it to the gas station and get more gas. I mean, I keep putting gas in the car. I don't understand why the engine is smoking. It just keeps smoking, and I just keep giving it gas. That is usually what's happening with our diets. We've got smoke coming out of the engine, and keto is walking in saying, I've got the right gas for this problem. And you're like, well, that didn't work. And it's like, all right. My engine's still smoking, and Weight Watchers comes and says, hey, I've got premium gas. Let's put that in. That doesn't work. And you still got smoke coming out of the engine. And the next thing you know, you've got like weight loss shots or something coming in. And they're like, I got it. You are an electric vehicle, and no one ever knew it. Let me plug you in. And you're like, the fucking engine's smoking. Maybe this is not a gas problem. We got to go under the hood and figure out why is my engine smoking? I need to fix what's really wrong. And we fix that, and then weight loss gets so much easier. It's easier to listen to your enough. It's easier to listen for hunger and stuff. It's really hard to lose weight. Like, this is what I want you to hear. If you have been deep, like if you're eating because you're stressed and you're eating because you need to keep going and you're eating because it's the only time of the day you get to relax. And if you're eating because that one time you go out every single week is the only time you have any fun and you're eating because you're pissed off at your husband and you're eating because you're like looking at your plate instead of like listening to your body. If you're eating for all those reasons, and then I come in like the Kool-Aid man saying, like, we're only gonna eat when we're hungry, we're gonna stop it enough. Well, now we're taking away the food, right? No matter what, we're taking away the food. Not the good foods and stuff. We're just gonna eat less because you're not gonna eat for all those reasons anymore. But if food was a coping mechanism, whether it's the four basics, Weight Watchers, keto, or whatever. We have now removed your coping mechanism. And so you are left with the stuff that's going to make the engine smoke. And what's different in No BS from all the other diets is I'm like, good. Because when we're only eating when we're hungry and we're stopping at enough, we want to see smoke and we want to pop the hood and we want to fix the motherfucker. I'm not giving you gas. I'm like, let's find out why you're smoking. And then when we fix that, we are coping. Now we're actually coping with our life. That is what we're now doing. We are figuring out How do I give myself more fun? We are figuring out how do I be there for myself when I'm angry at night because of my life situation? How do I actually listen to my body instead of listening to the analytical plate? That's what we're going to be working on. So if you need something to rectify, why have I never been successful? And you're telling yourself, like, it's bringing up fear, it needs to bring up confidence. I was never supposed to be successful on diets that didn't fix what was broken. If I'm not fixing what's broken, there's no way to be successful. That is not my fault. That is the diet's fault. Now, if you've been in no BS and you've had a regain or something, this is what I always tell you. You need to be an ask coaches because you wouldn't be regaining weight if there wasn't an emotional thing happening. So the second you start noticing the scale go up, the second you start noticing things, that is like this engine is smoking. It's time to go back to ask coaches and say, I probably have something in my life I need to work through. There's something going on where I'm eating again, and I need your help unwinding it so that I can get back to the losing or whatever it is. That's all that happens. I have had regains during the entire time that I have lost weight. There's no way since 2007 I haven't had emotional moments. I'm just different because when I'm having that, I understand. I'm not going to be eating again unless there's something inside of me that needs healing or attention, one or the other. Something's going on that needs healing or some kind of attention or a different way to cope. And for me, I notice habits first start changing. I know when I'm not planning anymore. I can just see it like, oh my gosh, like it's been 2 weeks since I've planned. What's going on? Oh, I'm in a busy time. I'm not making time for planning. I'm telling myself there's too much to do. I'm feeling extra stress. And instead of just giving myself 5 minutes to plan in the morning, I'm jumping into work and giving myself no attention. So, my problem isn't that I'm not planning. My problem is I'm not giving myself any attention now. I'm just thinking I'm going to outwork problems. The scale is another indicator. The scale starts going up. I just always am just like, I'm going to be really logical about this. Is there a reasonable explanation? Sometimes the scale for me goes up because, like, I am on vacation. Like, y'all know during the summer, I tend to gain some weight during the summer. I have an agreement with myself that it is okay to gain weight every summer because I know for me in the fall and winter, I'm not going to be traveling as much. I'm fine with being a little bored with my food at times. I'm in a season where I'm just like, it's not a big deal. That I don't need a lot of attention on. This to me is not an emotional situation. I don't have smoke coming out from the engine. Now, if it was going up over the winter and I noticed my scales creeping up, that is an early indicator. Like, I wonder what's going on with me. Let me look through my habits. Let me look through things. What's off track right now? And then I go in and I don't make fun of myself. I don't like berate myself and stuff. I just say, what is a reasonable explanation for why I've quit doing these things? What am I telling myself to quit doing these things? Otherwise, just restart them. And if I can't restart them, that's an emotional thing going on. That's my brain knowing, hey, something emotional is happening. I don't want you to restart those habits because when you do, you're taking away the coping mechanism. Our brain is smart. It knows if you start doing the basics again and you haven't addressed what's wrong, it's like, oh no, I'm going to make up every excuse before you start doing them. I'm going to make them seem harder than they have to be. I'm going to do all the things because when you start the basics, then if I've been eating in order to not throat punch my husband every single night on the couch, what am I going to do? I'm going to eat. Our brains are like dumb and smart at the same time. The brain's job is to always protect you. And you know who it's protecting you the most from? You. So we look for those things. So if that helps, I hope it does. All right. We will be back. I believe it. Let me hang on. Let me make sure. I think it's 2 o'clock, right, y'all? I'm not used to the new time yet. 2 o'clock. We will be doing Regain Help with Corinne. Anonymous, you ought to come and get coached because we will start that call at 2 o'clock. There is a brand new program in the membership. I rewrote our Regain program. It's called the Reset. So if you go to Pathways, it is in there. So just, and if you have a hard time finding it, just go to the blue question mark on the website. If you play around in the menus and you can't find it, just go to the blue question mark on the website when you log in. You can take that course. I just redid it, and I think we released it this last week. We're not doing a whole month on it or anything, but it is in there for all of you. Okay. Y'all have a good one. See you in 20 minutes. Bye, y'all.